Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
The great newspaper columnist Ann Landers once said that resentment is letting someone you despise live rent-free in your head. Well, it's an enslavement, isn't it, to resent somebody or to have a grudge against them? The answer is to let it go. We're going to be talking about letting things go. We're going to be talking about standing back so that you can look at things and see things in the light of conscience. In Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about, for example, he says the Gentiles don't have the law, but yet if they live rightly, it's because they have a conscience and God's laws are written in their heart and their conscience bears witness to what is true and what is right.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is Never Make a Bad Decision Again. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. You've heard the expression, nature abhors a vacuum. Well, what happens in the human being is that when one thing goes away, another comes in to substitute for it. There are two ways of looking at anything or doing anything. One way is with awareness, and the other way is without awareness. If you do things from peer pressure because of some selfish advantage, out of cowardice, if you do things out of anger or say things out of anger, or you relate to someone as a user to take advantage of them in some way, then God is replaced in your heart with something else. Awareness is replaced with unawareness. Love is replaced with animal emotion. Faith is replaced with doubt. All the good is slowly replaced by things that are not so good. When you do things with awareness, you're free. When you do them without awareness, you're enslaved. So the secret is to refine awareness, and then you can look at everything you do and then restore a right relationship with everything. If you use food to escape, look, here's the classic example. If you are guilty, you've been impatient with your kids, you're resenting your partner, you're selfish, and you resent the work that you have to do, and you eat, but you don't want to feel the guilt. You don't want to see your own wrong, your own selfishness, your own impatience. You don't want to see it. So you want to escape from reality. And so you use the food to escape. That misuse, you could misuse anything, but I'm just using food as an example because we often use food to escape, don't we? So if you use food to escape, you're misusing it. When you misuse it, you've stepped over the line and it replaces, see, the awareness that you had before is now filled with that food. And in a sense, you could almost say it replaces God or awareness of God or whatever is coming from God. It replaces that in your heart. Now it becomes your master. How many of you have bought something you didn't really need or bought something that cost too much? You were unaware, under the sway of emotion or excitement. Maybe you bought a new car and it looked really pretty, but then after you bought it, you found out you had to make a lot of repairs. Next time you're going to buy something because you're all excited about it, wait until you've recovered your senses. Wait until reason returns. There's a big difference between buying something because it's sensible and buying it out of excitement. So all I'm saying is, as we go through life and as we have a wrong relationship with things, in other words, we misuse them, awareness is replaced with a hypnotic focus or hypnotic attention. Your conscience is replaced with a false conscience. Faith is replaced with a false faith, putting your faith in other people. And that can also become an enslavement. And you're misusing them. If you use them to put your faith in them instead of in God, then you're misusing them. So everything becomes replaced until you lose your awareness, You lose your independence, you lose your freedom, and you lose your identity. The more you fall away and thereby begin to live improperly because of this wrong relationship with everything, then any truth, any awareness threatens to awaken you to see your own wrong. So you kind of have to get rid of it. And you end up surrounding yourself with lies and liars and things that engross you and things that occupy you. You don't even want awareness anymore, because when you're aware, you'd have to face your own guilt. And until you're willing to admit you're wrong, until you're willing to admit your resentments, your secret judgments of other people, and so on, then you will need to judge. Why? Because judgment replaces discernment, and rationale replaces reason. So more and more, everything you do, everything you see, everything you have, everything in your life, you have to replace it with something that won't remind you of the truth.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years.
Hi, this is Jeremiah Trujillo, the producer of Shedding Shackles. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 510-455-8851.
There are two ways of looking at anything or doing anything. One way is with awareness, and the other way is without awareness. And when you resent someone or something, when you make something too important, when you do something because somebody else said so, instead of what you see for yourself, then you do it without awareness. When you do things with awareness, you're free. When you do them without awareness, you're enslaved. So the secret is to refine awareness, and then you can look at everything you do and then restore a right relationship with everything, first with God and then with everyone else. And a right relationship is to love His laws. And how do you love His laws? By staying close to intuition, close to conscience, close to what you know in your heart. And then following that, obeying that. Because if you do things out of peer pressure, because of what somebody else tells you, because of some selfish advantage, out of cowardice, if you do things out of anger or say things out of anger, or you relate to someone as a user to take advantage of them in some way, or to not treat them fairly in some way, then God is replaced in your heart with something else. Awareness is replaced with unawareness. Love is replaced with animal emotion. Faith is replaced with doubt, and with having to plan and scheme and worry about and analyze everything instead of living by faith. All the good is slowly replaced by things that are not so good. And eventually you become petrified, just like a tree where it once was living, and then gradually every cell is replaced by something that's hard and it becomes petrified. So you don't want a hard heart. How does a hard heart develop? A heart of stone, it talks about in the Old Testament. It develops when you don't do things with awareness, when you forget about God, when you don't look to see about the rightness of something, and instead you do things without awareness, and thereby selfishly, angrily, resentfully, and like that. So awareness is the secret to refinding all that is good, and then becoming rehumanized again, revivified, regenerated, restored, reformed. It's all a part of God's plan, but in order to be included in that plan, you have to relate to Him with awareness instead of hypnotically relating to everything else emotionally and angrily and resentfully and selfishly.
Hi, you're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Shedding Shackles has been helping people cope with stress with principles of Christian stress management for over 34 years. So if you are stressed out, you will want to stay tuned to Shedding Shackles. We've got lots of free resources to help you get started reducing stress in your life. Email Roland now at roland@sheddingshackles.com. Call Roland now at 510-455-8851.
There are two ways of looking at anything or doing anything. One way is with awareness, and the other way is without awareness. You've all heard about, or maybe you've experienced it yourself. First time to smoke a cigarette, ooh, it's awful. That's because you haven't gotten totally into it. But you're already on the way to slavery because of someone's temptation, or someone's tease, or someone's challenge, or even in your mind a challenge or a tease. It can be very subtle. You can just say, hey, if you try that cigarette, you're not going to get addicted to it. You're too strong. You don't have a weak personality like some people. You can have it. You'll never get addicted to it. See, something like that. Or it'll say, you can't go through life and say you never smoked a cigarette, so why don't you just try it one time? See, but if you give in to that voice in your mind, or the group, the peer pressure, where everybody says, hey, come on, what's the matter with you? You know, what do you think you are, better than us? Or, hey, give it a try. It's nothing. It's easy. It's fun. It's harmless. See what I mean? Whatever the logic, whatever the rhetoric, see, whatever the pressure, emotional pressure, like I said, peer pressure, you give in to it. Or somebody looks really cool. They look so cool. They're smoking a cigarette. And you think, I'd like to be cool like that. Why? You know, if I was cool like that, people would admire me. Well, for whatever reason, if you do something because somebody else said so, or at some temptation, or because of some suggestion, or something in your mind urging you on a dare, whatever the reason is, see, you are not operating from your own independent will, your own independent ability to move and have your being. You are under some other authority, see, some other intelligence, some other will. See, I want you to see that. So, you know, I heard the story one time about some young lady, and her mom was always nagging her. And one day she came home and her mom was sniffing, you've been smoking cigarettes. I can tell. I can smell cigarettes on you. You've been smoking cigarettes. And it made her so resentful. She went off and went to her friends, and a couple of her friends were smoking, and she picked it up and started smoking just to do the opposite of what her mom was nagging her about. You see what I mean? But once again, any kind of an action that originates because of someone's temptation, or someone's tease, or someone's challenge, from some other thing than your own independent perception and independent movement, is technically wrong. We were meant to be independent, and we were meant to be moved by what? And what intelligence is supposed to guide us? What? You know, you've heard about it in Sunday school and in church, but you never thought about it this way. We are supposed to be moved by our Creator. We're supposed to do His will, see, and fulfill His purposes and live according to His dictates, not anybody else. Fortunately, we have intuition, which is also called conscience. Remember, Paul talked about conscience, where he said that God writes His laws into our heart. Conscience, or intuition, is what you know in your heart is right. He gives us intuition. He gives animals instinct. He gives humans intuition. You know in your heart, like little kids have a sense of justice. A little kid can see when something's unfair. The child is sitting at the table and everybody gets French fries and the other kids get more French fries than he does. He sees that it's unfair. See, he sees his parents arguing, or let me put it this way, he sees his parents angry at each other or resentful toward each other. He could see something wrong with that. Nobody has to tell him. Nobody has to teach him. He doesn't have to go to school or to college or high school or anything. He could just see it. Well, that's what we have. Now, that is in operation for you. See, for the most part, when you're not lost in something else. See, the problem is that once you do something from some other authority, some other suggestion, some other intelligence, some other will, it then, how can I say this? It replaces what was there before with a lower substitute. God's will is replaced with someone else's will. Awareness is replaced with hypnosis. Ideals with expediency. Morality is replaced with values. Reason with rationale. And when the balance tips toward people who have sold out and given in and compromised and lost their identity and lost their freedom, then culture replaces civilization and holidays take the place of holy days. But I want to keep it simple today and just focus on one aspect, and I'm just going to focus on awareness. When you do something at somebody else's beck and call, something whispers something to your mind, somebody teases you, somebody dares you, somebody challenges you, an image in your mind makes you think how cool you would look if you did this and that, or something eggs you on, hey, steal that dollar, nobody will know, nobody will see it, everybody's stealing, nobody cares. See, when you do that, then you have fallen away. See, you fall away from intuition. You fall away from awareness. See, when you are aware, very aware, and you're not into something, you have very good access to your intuition. But when you fall into something, then it gets a hold on you, and you lose your intuition. There's two ways of watching television. You can be lost in the program, totally caught up in the program, or you can be standing back and kind of watching it lightly, and it doesn't really interest you, and it's kind of boring. It's almost like you're not even watching it. You can have somebody talking to you, and what they say goes in one ear and out the other. And if they happen to say something that's useful or meaningful, you'll notice it. But otherwise, it's just so much hot air, blah, 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 goes in one ear and out the other. It always, what do they call it? The slippery slope. The first time you smoke that cigarette, it tastes terrible and it's nothing. But then years later, you can be a hopeless addict. It's the same for everything else. So you become a slave of it. Christ said, all who sin are slaves. Do you understand it now? So now you can see that you have to go the other way. You have to learn to be able to stand back from things. If you can, for example, with the help of the little meditation that I have, which helps you to do that, helps you to stand back, then you will be able to look at things, do things, use things, be with people, but now with awareness. And where once before your work, you got all caught up in your work, it became so important that you were neglecting your family. Maybe you neglect your health because of work. And chances are the reason you got so lost in the work was because you resented it. See, by resenting it, that pulls you into it. Now you no longer are standing back and looking at it objectively, but with the help of the meditation and a new attitude. There's very much an attitude adjustment involved. If you don't want to face the truth, if you don't want to know the truth, if you don't want to admit you're wrong, if you don't want to be sorry, if you don't want to experience a little bit of shame when you see that you were mean to your kids and yelled at them, or that you betrayed your wife, or that you're selfish, or that you're secretly judging your husband and judging other people, if you don't want to see that and see that there's something wrong with that and be sorry, then unless you have that attitude where you're willing to see your own wrong and willing to let God's light of truth, his intuition, what you know in your heart, your conscience, unless you're willing to let that rub your nose in it a little bit and feel bad about what you see about yourself and regret what you see, then you will want to escape, and everything will then get a hold of you. You won't be able to do anything without overdoing it, without struggling with it, without becoming a slave of it, without having to enslave yourself to someone else to escape from one person who enslaved you, or enslave yourself to chewing gum to stop being enslaved to smoking. You'll be enslaved. Now, obviously, you're better off being enslaved to chewing gum than you are to cigarettes, but you got the idea. You're still enslaved.
Albert Einstein once said, "There are two ways to live life, as if nothing is a miracle, and as if everything is a miracle." If there's no miracle or magic in your life, you need to find out why. A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. Christ did many wonderful magical things. He turned water into wine, he raised the dead, and he healed the sick. The reason there isn't magic in your life is you have locked it. Your planning and scheming has taken the place of following principle. Along with God's grace, he gives you the power to do things, but they must flow naturally. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
You have to follow him and be willing to let everything go. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to let everything go, but be willing to. So you stand back. Here comes somebody. They want to argue with you. You stand back. They try to make an argument. You just watch them. You don't fall into the argument. And they see that they're not getting anywhere with you, and they go away and let it go. See? The food that you once used to escape into the food, now you can eat the food without escaping into it. See what I mean? And then some things will just give you up. See, if you actually stand back and look at that cigarette objectively, see, and go to take a puff of it, and you're objective, you have a little distance to it, you see the big picture, see, and you have your intuition there, and all of a sudden, it's nothing. See, it becomes nothing again. Remember, before you became addicted to cigarettes, or addicted to gambling, or addicted to buying stuff, or whatever it is that you're basically addicted to, or some food issues, whatever it is. Before that, remember, you were free of it. You could take it or leave it. See, and of course, a lot of things, you just left them. The cigarettes, the alcohol, things like that. You just didn't bother with them. And they were nothing. So now you regain the innocent state that you had before. And the innocent state that you had before, it can be there immediately. Immediately in that moment when you stand back and look at it and see it for what it is and let it go. All right? You need that awareness. You need that attitude. You need to be free like you were before you fell into it. And one of the ways we fall into things is because of resentment. Somebody dared you. Somebody challenged you. Somebody teased you. Somebody made a remark, and you became resentful. So you can listen to this program again and see the general principle that I talked about, and you can see where you have become enslaved and how resentment is involved in your enslavements. You can become a slave of your partner, but if you don't resent your partner, you're free. And then when you no longer are resentful, then you won't need to escape into the cake or the cookies or whatever. You see what I mean? So you'll begin a process of giving things up. So you can look at something that you used to be too much involved in and look at it now, and you can see that you were resenting it, and now you can take it or leave it. So yeah, you can keep the job, or maybe not. Or you can eat the piece of food, or maybe you won't eat it. You see what I mean? You can buy the thing or not buy it, depending on what's wise, what's right, what makes sense in the moment. But the compulsivity will go away, and the terrible addictive part of it goes away, because now you have objectivity, you have mental distance, and you can look at it objectively. See? It's so helpful.
You all know biofeedback for calming down and de-stressing. Well, that is what Roland's sitting quietly exercises. Why not check it out? Just go to sheddingshackles.com and look for sitting quietly.
Dad, any concluding thoughts about today's topic?
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize how important awareness is.
Okay.
And you can have it instantly, and that is your power. That is where your power to hold back the tide of negativity, that's where it is. It's not your power, it's God's power, but it comes through awareness.
Okay.
You have to be aware to make contact with your Creator. Now, I also want to mention the little hand-warming exercise.
Sure.
It's just a simple biofeedback technique, but it'll get you started. That's a good way to get started.
Yeah.
And then you might, with time, if you like, you can graduate to the regular meditation exercise. But just for starters, to get you calmed down and get you out of the negativity, all those negative thoughts and worries and doubts and fears, it's a real good start.
That makes sense.
And of course, you go to sheddingshackles.com. I also have a special website just for the hand-warming exercise, and it's called handwarming.com. It's easy to remember, handwarming.com. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Alrighty. Thanks, Dad.
Until next time, Lord willing, and the Greek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.